Hello, I'm Colin Green, and you are listening to Spike Pit.
Well, spring is really upon us now. The trees are bursting into leaf. There's blossom everywhere. There's that vigorous life about the place. And it makes me want to change things up and try something a little bit new. So that's what I'm doing. I've come up with this idea of spiky shorts. Snippets of episodes. A new short form style of Spike Pit. It's a scripted episode to keep me on track and to the point. It's reliant on listeners calling in and participating and maybe trying to get these little conversations going and kind of focus on kind of topical themes for each episode and see what comes of it. So listen out for that one. In terms of newness as well, a new campaign starting up. I've had Session Zero with the home group, Mutant Year Zero. We're playing Gen Lab Alpha and trying to inject a bit of life into the way we're doing that by having more than one character each. We've kind of got a stable of characters, 2 to 3 characters each. I'm aiming for a group of around 9 or 10, and they're working as resistance fighters in this organisation, all in a place called Paradise Valley. Looking forward to that, and I'm recording these episodes mostly for posterity, to also improve my GMing. As I've said before, I find it super helpful to listen back to episodes, and also gets me a bank of examples of play. Maybe I'll do some actual play recordings and release them as such. Maybe I'll draw on the recordings to insert into the podcast or perhaps use as inspiration or springboards for spiky shorts. Don't quite know. And I'm still playing in a couple of other games. Well, a few, in fact, regular games. I've got 3 regular games. My son, my youngest, is running his, would you call it cyberpunk? I guess you'd call it cyberpunk. It's set in Melbourne, Australia, in the dark future. It's a game called Reboot.Execute. And he picked up the game from a group that were playing online. A guy called Jazza, he's an artist and gamer character on the internet, built up quite a following at one point there. We're playing that. I've got a character called Chunk, who's a big kind of cyborg. My son is thoroughly enjoying running the game. It's a lot of improvisation, and he really gets into the acting side of it. Sometimes he has a couple of props. He puts on different voices to get himself into character. And there's a lot of character play where we're not really engaging with the mechanisms of the game so much. It's definitely not a lot of combat. There's a lot of storytelling and narrative and delving into the backgrounds and motivations of the characters. And this is not especially typical of our group, although I do think we all quite like that side of the game. In contrast to a reboot, we continue with our long-running Curse of Strahd campaign, and we have in fact reached quite a landmark. We've made it to Castle Ravenloft, and what a spooky place it is. We've had a session and a half in there now, and thoroughly enjoying it. The stakes have really risen. We've gone in there with quite an entourage. It's got to be at least 8 members of the group at this point, with including some animated armour, a guardian robot thing, like a little golem. Can't think what the name of it is now. A shield guardian. We've got yeah, a few NPCs, these characters. But anyway, I don't want to spoil it for people that are playing in the campaign. But suffice to say, yeah, it's just ongoing fun with that campaign. Whether we'll actually be able to kill Strahd, who knows? I've deliberately avoid any spoilers. I've got no idea what's going to happen. I really don't remember much about it at all from playing as a youngster. We played in Ravenloft, but I don't think I was playing when the group actually got to Ravenloft Castle. I don't know if my brother was. I don't know what his recollection of it is. I should probably have a chat with him sometime. But when that wraps up, we'll be looking to do something else. I don't know whether I'll step in with the Mutant Year Zero game or whether be something totally different. Who knows? I don't know if my brother wants to run something. So we'll have to see and I'll keep you posted. And that leaves the other regular game, the final one that I'm playing in on a fortnightly basis. In fact, all these games are on a fortnightly basis. And that is Warhammer Fantasy role-playing game with the Dungeon Muser himself over on Dungeon Musings. It's my old buddy Kev. I'm playing that game with a few folks you'll know. My brother, Arfed, and the GMologist himself, Carl Rodriguez. We're having great fun in that game. It's got a very laid-back pace to it. We're just sort of like hanging about in the world and making things happen and exploring ideas, exploring our characters. We've got a bit of a rotating cast, not too many, but rarely do we get everybody there together and folk just sort of drift in and drift out of the spotlight a little bit. And it's just thoroughly enjoyable playing with folks, Canadian, an American, my brother, so it's a UK, Canada, America mix from quite well spread across America, is my understanding of things. And it's nice to play with people that I've been gaming with for years, most of them. One guy, Sean, this is the first time I've gamed with him. And his character and my character, he plays a dwarf Ironbreaker. We are kind of buddies in the story. And I like to think that as folks, as players, we all get on well. There's no friction there. So it's a pleasure to play in that once a fortnight. It is tempting to get myself involved with more games, but especially coming up with the summer and the nicer weather, and I like to get outside. And I actually find it quite difficult sitting still for like 3 hours to play a session. I don't know what that's all about. I don't know. But in terms of gaming, that's about it. Some other stuff I've been getting involved with is some reading. I've been trying to pick up some like philosophy classics, the Marcus Aurelius. I reread Sun Tzu and The Art of War. Even picked up Machiavelli's The Prince. That was a banned book at one time. And I don't know about you folks, but I don't find these easy reading at all. They're fascinating, and it's interesting to note that the things that are discussed, the problems that these characters encounter, they're like perennial problems of mankind. And I don't know why I'm really surprised by this. In fact, I heard or read something recently basically describing us as not much more evolved than our ancestors, our Neanderthal type ancestors. We're living with systems and beliefs that are basically medieval, yet we have godlike technology. And yeah, you can see how that could cause a few complications at times. And I think this is quite plain to see when you put a person behind a wheel of a car or at the dangerous end of a keyboard on the internet. I've been really busy in school lately as well, and I feel like that's been keeping me from some of my hobbies. And a lot of this is to do with the steepness of the learning curve in terms of what I need to learn for work. Not always a problem necessarily. It's not that I don't enjoy it. I've got to get up to speed with my CAD design. I'm learning Onshape. I'm doing quite a lot of electronics using CircuitWizard. The other big one is VEX. We've got some robotic stuff. Now, there is a system called VEX IQ that I've used. It's quite similar to technical Lego in a way. But the new stuff that we've got, we've been fortunate enough to get about $6,000 worth of robotics equipment that's been kind of like dumped on me to figure out and use. I've got a bunch of students on board that I've brought over from the VEX IQ. And we need to put together a bit of a robotics team. But it means I've got to figure it out, first of all, to be able to teach it and encourage or facilitate it more than teach it. Thankfully, the folks that develop this stuff, I think they're in Texas somewhere. There's a big competition there every year in, I think it's called VEX World. Yeah, so we're making these robots, and this is like proper nuts and bolts type of stuff. You've got all the gears and the cogs and the systems and software and coding. Coding. I never thought I'd see the day where I was getting involved with coding, but it is upon me. I've built a couple of small sort of starter robots now, and I've been doing a little bit of coding. But for me, this is a really steep learning curve and hasn't left me a lot of kind of free time. I don't need to do this. This is sort of extracurricular stuff, and I do quite enjoy it. But it's like everything else. Whenever something like this comes into your life, it always seems to kind of trickle into my role-playing game. So I'm looking at those kind of those robots and the code and the engineering, and I think my RPG ideas are kind of drifting away from the fantasy that I've been thinking about and getting a little bit more technical. I've always quite liked that post-apocalyptic theme, and obviously I'm running my Gen Lab Alpha game, or getting that up and running. And I can see there being some little robot characters and probably elements of coding, and I'm getting that hankering to watch some of these classic films. I'm actually looking for some recommendations, perhaps, if anybody out there's got some. There's a few films that were not so great back in the day, but I'd almost like to see them again. I kind of quite like to see Waterworld again. I know that was not great. The Postman, I've kind of got quite fond memories of a film called The Postman. I don't remember too much about it now, but I remember that was a post-apocalyptic communities coming together again. And I don't know if it was Kevin Costner playing the kind of leading role in that, but real life bleeding into your games. Normally people talk about that the other way around. Their games bleeding into real life, but I think it goes both ways.
And that, as they say, is a wrap. Big thanks goes out to you, the listener, for taking a bit of time out of your day to listen to old Spike Pit. Take care. And I'll catch you later.